TED Audio Collective.
Okay, so the first thing I'm totally guilty of was reacting to the headline right away.
Okay, great.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Hey, and welcome back to Conversations with People Who Hate Me, the show where I use negative online comments as a starting point for offline conversations. I'm your host, Dylan Marin. This is the last episode of the year. We'll be returning in early 2019 with season 3, but I wanted to take a moment to thank you all for tuning in and spreading the word about the show. It's been a big year. We won a Webby Award, Apple Podcasts named it one of the best podcasts of 2018, I gave a TED Talk about why I created it, and sharing this for the first time officially on the podcast, I just got a book deal to write about all that I've learned and am still learning from making this show. There's no release date yet, but I promise to let you know as soon as I have one. It's been a great year, and I'm so thankful to all of you for your support. I have one humble request. If you like this show, I would love it if you rated us 5 stars. Ratings really help new audience members find the show and trust that it's one that other people like. All right, let's get on with it. Let's get to the show. This is a very special holiday episode where I'll be connecting two strangers who crossed paths online over a topic some of us may already be aware of, while others might not be. The divide between saying Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. Lux Alptrom is a writer who recently penned an op-ed that discussed what it's like to not celebrate Christmas in what she calls a, quote, inescapable weeks-long period of compulsory celebration for nearly everyone, end quote. Lux's article was tweeted out and a stranger named Jeremy came across it and commented, FFS, really, which stands for fuck's sake, really, there are many of us, actually a majority, who love this time of year. So first, I'll speak to Lux, then to Jeremy, and then I will connect them to each other. Now, before I do, I just wanted to say, happy whatever it is you do or do not celebrate. I know that some people love the holidays, and for others, it can be a really, really isolating and complicated time. To those in the second camp, I get it. I've been there, and I totally understand. Do something great for yourself this holiday season. Okay, that is it. Here is Lux.
Hi, Lux.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
Oh my God, thank you for being here. I'm so excited. So, Lux, before we begin, tell me about you, and I'm looking for the, like, quick opening of Wikipedia entry about you. Not the huge biography, just give me the like juicy what would fit in a social media biography details.
Absolutely. So I am a freelance writer and most recently the author of the book Faking It, The Lies Women Tell About Sex and the Truths They Reveal. For the purpose of this conversation, I am also a Jewish woman.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How exciting. So what we are here to discuss is that you recently wrote a piece called A War on Christmas, Jews Who Leave the House in December Would Beg to Differ. And you open, your opening line is, I have never been a fan of Christmas.
Yes.
So give me the like abstract. Give me the little teaser of why you wrote this.
Yeah. So first of all, the standard disclaimer all writers have to give is that we don't pick the headlines. Mm-hmm. I don't think that one's super inaccurate, but it was not. It would not have been what I would have picked if I were summarizing the piece myself. But the short version is that I'm someone who does not celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I have family who do. I have friends who do. I am very happy for them. But as someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas, it's really frustrating for me that there's this kind of spirit of mandatory celebration. Mm-hmm. And that there is not just people celebrating it, which is great, and mm-hmm. I'm happy for them, but this sense that everybody has to participate or it lessens other people's celebration. And it's just something where, you know, that offices have Christmas parties, mm-hmm. or it's like a holiday party, but it's really a Christmas party. Mm-hmm. That you get just – there's just this assumption that you are celebrating, that if you aren't celebrating – there's some bad reason or it means something bad about you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just wanted to say that can be really hard. That can be really harmful. Mm-hmm. And that especially in a time when reactionary conservatism is on the rise and a lot of people who are religious minorities feel very scared for mm-hmm. very legitimate reasons, it can feel really alienating and it can feel like this reminder that we're not seen as equals. Mm-hmm.
In one tweet response to this article being shared, there was a man named Jeremy who tweeted, FFS, really, for fuck's sake, really, there are many of us, actually a majority, who love this time of year. I personally don't celebrate for religious reasons, but more for the feeling of the season and bringing together of friends and family. Merry Christmas to you. So how does it feel to receive a tweet like this?
I mean, for me, it doesn't upset me. It more just feels like, oh, you're proving my point. Mm-hmm. That somebody saying, I opt out of this and I would prefer to not be included makes other people defensive about their own celebration and makes them have to justify why they celebrate, which mm-hmm. I find very odd. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it for me, when I get a comment like that, or the even more angry comments mm-hmm. that I receive from other people, it just feels like, oh, okay, this is exactly what I thought would happen. Mm. And you're reinforcing the whole reason why I wrote the article in the first place.
So what is your perception of Jeremy? I know you don't know each other, but we form perceptions of the people we scroll past immediately. Mm-hmm. What is your perception of Jeremy now?
I mean, my perception, I know that he identifies as a proud conservative, mm-hmm. which that's more than the comment is mm-hmm. where I'm like, oh, is he going to be angry? Is he going to be difficult just because people who identify as conservative mm-hmm. often are more difficult. But I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And based on the comment alone, I just feel like he is one of many – he is like many other people who I consider secular Christians who maybe didn't read past the headline, just see it as something about Jesus and are like, no, but this is – it's fine. I'm not Christian and I still do this.
How do you feel about talking to him?
I'm a little anxious.
Really?
Yeah, because – I mean, I know people in the show are often like very, very nice, but I often feel like people assume – people come into a conversation like this assuming that I am like really angry and mm-hmm. gonna like yell at them if they say Merry Christmas and – you know, it's just a lot of, like, weight mm-hmm. and, like, and anxiety. And also, there's part of me that's like, what if he is just really, really angry and starts saying anti-Semitic things, which I don't think is going to happen.
But that's your fear.
But that is, like, the kind of thing, yeah, that it could devolve and get very ugly.
That's your fear based on past experience.
Yeah.
Not with Jeremy.
Not with Jeremy at all. That's my fear based on these conversations.
Yeah.
That the holidays are emotional for people.
Yeah.
And I find that, as we see with all, like, the discourse around war and Christmas, mm-hmm. that people often shut down and really don't pay attention to what the variety of experiences around Christmas are. Hmm.
Totally. So with that being said, I'll go talk to Jeremy, and then we'll all get on the phone together.
Great.
Hello?
Oh, hey, is this Jeremy?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you? This is Dylan Marin.
Good, how about yourself?
I'm good. You were working late last night, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah, I work at night.
Oh, great. So, but you feel slept, you feel rested, all of those good things. I guess you have your schedule down, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Okay, great. My concern was for nothing. I was worried about your sleep schedule, but I guess you know how it goes.
That's why I'm usually up. I got a son I pick up from school and stuff. So I'm usually
great.
Up at a certain time.
So you know how, yes, you have the schedule down. Okay, great. So I would love to know, completely separate from any kind of, you know, Twitter disagreement, only on your terms and only as many details as you're comfortable sharing. Tell me about you. What's the kind of like quick bio of Jeremy?
So I'm 39 years old.
Nice.
I live in Virginia.
Okay.
Let's see. I was raised in a military family. My mother's retired Navy. My father spent time in the Navy. I got two kids.
Nice.
You know, I got a 19-year-old that goes to college. He's in college now. And I got a 17-year-old in his junior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, married. I'm a married man, so.
Oh my God.
Just a family man, overall family man.
Love. Okay, that's great. So family man, and then I guess a transition to what we're here to talk about. You also appreciate the holiday time.
I love the holiday time.
Yeah.
I'm like a kid.
Yeah.
I'm a 39-year-old kid.
good.
And it rubs off on my children, too.
Listen, I think that's a good way to be. I think that's, you know, spread joy. So this is a good quick transition. And again, we'll be getting into the details of this. But the reason we're even on this call is that you and another person, the author of that article, intersected on the internet, as so many people often do. You have very different takes. You tweeted in response to an article that was criticizing the oppressive nature of a Christmas climate. What set you off about that?
It's just, I feel like not only, because we're talking about Christmas in general,
mm-hmm.
but I just feel like there's an attack on so many values in today's day and age. And I think a lot of that has to do with our current political environment.
Mm-hmm.
However, not everything is religion-based. Not everybody sees it as religion-based.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as a whole, for me, the values that the country was founded on, and I just feel like everything's offensive now, and everything is a problem to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably been that way, but now we have platforms to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just – so it just kind of set me off. It's like, you know what? It's not about the oppressive nature and the religion about Christmas. I do it because I love it. I'm not a religious person by no means. I have my own values.
Mm-hmm.
But – it's not about that. It's just about the time of the year and being with family and stuff. So I don't know. I just feel like everything is always, I think we get bombarded with the constant feeds that were offered through social media now. So we see these things and we have a platform to discuss it. And it just really set it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you contacted, I was really intrigued to hear her point of view.
Mm.
You know, from her voice herself.
Yeah.
No, but that's why I just feel like there's always an attack on.
Yeah.
I guess what I feel is our values. Maybe those same values might not apply to everyone else.
So when you pass this on Twitter, right, if I were to just pass your account, I would make a fleeting judgment of you. You'd make a fleeting judgment of me. And I'm not saying specifically you, specifically me. I'm just saying we make judgments of each other and we have perceptions of each other, right?
Yes.
So without knowing her at all, what is your perception of the author of this piece?
Just to be blunt and candid, and again, I don't know her, but when I read something like that, I think of hate to say it like this, but just a bleeding heart liberal. That's what I think
bleeding
of.
Bleeding heart liberal.
I think if anybody goes on my Twitter page, they can see I'm a proud conservative.
Your Twitter banner, right?
Yeah. So, I'm not a far right by no means, but I lean right. I have more centrist, but lean right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I see is every time I see somebody criticize our values, the first thing I think of is, oh God, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
We're offending someone.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm in an area that's very conservative. So, you know, I react a lot of times on emotion and sometimes that's why I welcome this opportunity. I'd like to hear it, because I'm very open-minded at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what, as soon as I read that, I was like, here we go. Somebody else offended by something. We got to complain about something.
Mm.
So that was the first thing that came to mind. And that's kind of why I started that whole tweet with FFS.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. Right. I think the beauty of this show is that we will have an ability to like move past the tweet, and then you guys will get to talk to each other.
I think what you're doing is awesome, and that's why I welcome this.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it. So you're about to speak to the author of this article. How are you feeling?
Looking forward to hearing her point of view. I guess the word is,
eager.
I don't want to say excited, but yeah. There's a word I can't. I'm anticipating. I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, I'm nervous.
Okay, great.
Because when somebody challenges my own point of view and my own feelings, I'll be honest. I don't like to look wrong or, you know, look closed-minded. So sometimes I'm nervous because in so many words, it would make me look bad. It made me look, you know, foolish, just like, you know, you're only seeing it from your side, and I don't want to.
Well, Jeremy, I think you you just nailed exactly what all humans feel, and only few have the courage to actually admit to. Like, no one likes being wrong. Like, just welcome to the truth of humanity. No one likes being wrong. I don't like being wrong. You don't like being wrong. So I fully get that. I actually really appreciate that you said that honestly, because like, that's the truth. So any final questions from me?
No. Again, like I said, I'm just, you know, just to kind of reiterate, you know, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. It's nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear yours. I've seen the pictures. I won't lie. I looked you up a little bit on Twitter.
Okay, perfect.
I'm glad to put a voice to the face.
Voice to the face. That's, you know what, Jeremy, that could be the alternate title of this podcast, is Voice to the Face. So I wanted to, now that we're on the phone, first of all, thank you guys for being here. I love making this show, and when humans actually get to connect with each other on the phone, that's what I love most. So I wanted to kind of go over the ground rules with you both. This episode will only go out if you both feel good about the call. The goal is not to humiliate anyone. The goal is not to be like, well, we trapped you on record and now this is going out. If either of you feel any kind of way, let me know. And it doesn't have to be an episode. Judging from the fact that I've had a great experience talking to both of you, I highly doubt that's going to happen. I just want to let you know the power is within both of you.
Okay.
Other things to tell you, waiting for this buzzsaw. I know it's happening, and of course, you know what, Jeremy, of course it wasn't happening all day, and then it just was like, you know when I'm gonna start being a buzzsaw is right now. But that's okay, so maybe we're just gonna embrace it.
Sounds good. Adds character.
I know it does add character. Yeah. That's going to be the four. I need a release from the buzzsaw. I need the consent to record the buzzsaw then. Okay, so Jeremy, Lux, you are on the phone together for the first time. You have previously only intersected on the internet, and you're coming from perhaps different positions on a certain topic. Before we get into the topic we're here to talk about, I would just love for you two to get to know each other, not related to what you interacted about. Do you know what I mean? Just about like your lives, your likes, your dislikes, the mundane stuff, anything you want to share, and only the stuff you feel comfortable sharing. Jeremy, let's start with you. Why don't you tell Lux a little about you?
Let's see. I'm 39-year-old family man. Yeah, I've got two children. One's in college, and the other one is 17 in his junior year of high school, married, happily married. I consider myself to be, you know, not to get into politics, but a conservative type person, more central, but lean right a little bit. You know, that's about the gist of me in a nutshell overall.
And what kind of stuff do you do for fun? Hobbies? What's like a perfect day off for you?
Relaxing, watching football, or my son, my youngest boy, plays a lot. He plays ice hockey.
Oh, nice.
So I really enjoy going to see him play ice hockey, and that's every weekend. And then playing golf when it's warm. I do like to play some golf.
Fancy.
So that's about the messing with my truck, cleaning the car, cleaning the house. I always try to keep myself busy with to-do lists around the house.
Listen, I totally get it.
And my wife and I have like, our roles are reversed at home.
So, oh, great, great.
So she's very mechanically inclined, and I'm the cleaner. Everything has to be perfect. The laundry needs to be done and
wonderful.
Cook, and so we catch a lot of
we catch a lot of hell for that sometimes because we're so just totally different on that aspect. Uh-huh. So we're not your common husband and wife.
Great. You're subverting expectations. I love it, Jeremy. Okay, that's wonderful. So Lux, handing it over to you. Take it away. Let's hear the biography of Lux.
Yeah. My name is Lux. I am 36 and I have lived in New York for almost 20 years now.
Whoa.
Yeah, I moved here to go to Columbia.
Nice.
I am a writer. I'm a freelance writer, which means I spend a lot of time at home with my cat.
Good.
And I've done a lot of different things, but most of my career has been related to sex education in some capacity. I've worked with teenagers. I've written about the adult industry. And currently, in addition to writing about sex and feminism and all of that, I also, what I'm very excited about, I started volunteering as a volunteer advocate for sexual assault and domestic violence victims. So when I'm on shift, if somebody gets called into the emergency department, I get called in to show up and just show that person support and be a person for them in their time of crisis, to just be there and give them whatever they need.
Whoa, amazing. And same question I asked Jeremy. Is hobbies, the mundane stuff, likes, dislikes, what does an ideal day off look like?
Yeah, I really like cooking.
Great.
Which always feels like a weird hobby to say because I'm just like, you just have to do it to eat.
Yeah,
right. I like cooking, I like reading, I like going to the movies and taking in culture.
Okay, so that is great. So let's kind of kick it off. Lux, you wrote a piece which the person who titled this piece is not you, but it's an editor who titled it. But let's just talk about how it was tweeted out. So the copy for the tweet says, "A war on Christmas? Jews who leave the house in December would beg to differ," writes Lux Alptrom. "Liberals can be just as bad as their conservative counterparts when it comes to enforcing an oppressive Christmas climate." And you opened this article with, "I have never been a fan of Christmas."
Yes.
Great. That is wonderful. So you confirm that that is you, in fact.
That is me. I confirm that I did open with that divisive statement.
Okay, great. So give us the why you wrote that.
So I'm Jewish. I don't celebrate Christmas personally, although I do have many friends and family who do, and I'm very happy for them. And every time it gets to be December, and sometimes even earlier than December, I find that everywhere I go, there's this expectation that I celebrate Christmas. And there's Christmas music everywhere. In offices, there are Christmas parties, or sometimes they're called holiday parties, but they are pretty Christmas heavy. And I don't begrudge people their right to personally celebrate this holiday or find meaning or joy in it, but it is really isolating at this time to sort of feel like everyone expects you to participate, or that if you don't participate, you're sort of shut out of the fun. And what really drove me to write that piece, aside from getting asked to write it by the editor, is that if I say I don't want to celebrate Christmas, or Christmas is not for me, or if I make a joke about being a one-woman war on Christmas, which is always a joke, what I tend to get is people explaining why I should participate in Christmas, or why it's fun, or why it's not religious, and therefore it's okay, even though I'm Jewish. And I don't ever really feel heard as to why it's not for me and why it can be kind of isolating at this time of year.
Yeah. Great. So that's a great explanation of why you wrote it. Jeremy, you tweeted in response to the article, "For fuck's sake, really? There are many of us, actually a majority, who love this time of year. I personally don't celebrate for religious reasons, but more for the feeling of the season and the bringing together of friends and family." And you ended it in a lovely little way. "Merry Christmas to you." So Jeremy, why did you say that in a tweet?
Okay, so the first thing I'm totally guilty of was reacting to the headline right away.
Okay, great.
Stay right there. We'll be right back. Before we continue, I just want to say thanks for being here. Also, you can be on this show too. Has someone said something negative about you online, or maybe you've said something negative about someone else? Either way, after this episode is over, go to www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com where you can fill out a guest form. And if you don't want to be on this show, that is totally cool. I appreciate you just the same. Maybe consider telling a friend about this show. Word of mouth has brought this podcast around the world, so your recommendation goes a long way. All right, let's get back to the conversation.
Okay, so the first thing I'm totally guilty of was reacting to the headline right away.
Okay, great.
I did that right away. Mm-hmm. However, I did dig. I read the article shortly after. Mm-hmm. I had wrote the tweet, and then I actually reread the article yesterday after you and I spoke, just to mm-hmm.
refresh.
Bring it back to the front of my mind, just to refresh myself. So right away, all I was thinking was, here we go again. I think I used this yesterday. I said, here's another liberal who's trying to shoot down Christmas for religious reasons, because we have to be in this politically correct environment and be accepting of all religions. The first thing I thought of was, let's shut down everything that's Christian, white, conservative, whatever you want to call it, that supposedly the country was founded on, was right there in front of me. And so I reacted to it without reading into it more. So I was just thinking, right, I was like, here we go with the war on Christmas, and not everybody celebrates it from the standpoint of religious reasons. But I did like something, Lux, that you said, and it made me think right away in your opening statement, was isolation. Mm. And you kept saying you were isolated. And because I try to be an empathetic person, that made me think right away. I was like, wow, I couldn't even imagine all this happening around us and feeling isolated, because it's supposed to be a happy time of year. And right away, I'm starting, just by you using that word, triggered me to say, well, maybe it's not a happy time of year for everyone else. Mm. So I reacted to the opening, or to the headline initially, just reacted right away. And that's where the "for fuck's sake" flew out of my mouth, which was probably not the appropriate way to do it. But
listen,
I was actually hopeful that Lux would engage in conversation with me.
Oh, yeah. Great. And now here we are. So it all came true. Also, Jeremy, reading the headline of an article and then instinctively responding is, I believe, part of the Bill of Rights of the internet. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all do it. Yeah. Let's not even pretend you're the only one who does it. I am going to own up to it. I have done it, Jeremy. Like, I just want to come clean with you. I hate to break it to you, you did not invent that, so you're in good company. But
I'm glad I don't have to claim that.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, it's not copyrighted to Jeremy. So we're talking about isolation. Lux, expand on that a little.
Yeah, so I want to give a fuller history of my relationship with Christmas.
Love.
So I mentioned this in the piece, so you may already be aware, but although I am Jewish, my mother, who is also Jewish, was raised Catholic. So I have a number of Catholic family members. My mother's parents were Catholic. My grandfather died when I was a kid, but my grandmother was around until about 3 years ago. She passed about 3 years ago. And so when she was 96, so she was around for most of my life. And Christmas was important to her. And I spent most of my Christmases with her. Mm-hmm. So I, even though I am Jewish, and at my home there has never been a Christmas tree, and Christmas has never been my thing, it is something that I have participated in for my grandmother and for my family. And I understand the joy that it brings people. And it's not, for whatever reason, like maybe just because of how strongly I personally identify with Judaism, it's just not my holiday, but I do understand, like, I know what it brought for my grandmother, and I know that my sister has chosen to celebrate it because it's meaningful for her and because her husband grew up with it. And so I don't begrudge any of that, but I do feel very frustrated, again, and isolated when I try to say something like, this is not really a holiday for me, and it's a lot, and instead of feeling heard, mm-hmm. what I hear is people explaining why they celebrate it, and mm-hmm. people saying like, oh, but it's pagan. Like, it's really, it started as a pagan thing. It's not about Christ. And that's fine for people for whom that resonates, but I'm not pagan either.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like, oh, it's Yule, but I'm not only am I not German, but my grandparents were Holocaust survivors, so that's equally not a compelling argument for me. And just really the strongest thing I can say about isolation is that if you grow up in this country, you cannot escape Christmas specials. And so many Christmas specials are built on this idea that anybody who doesn't like Christmas is a bad person and is missing out. And I mean,
Scrooge or a Grinch.
Right, exactly. A Scrooge or a Grinch. And it just never really seems to occur to people that it is fun, it is great, it's meaningful to a lot of people, but it's not for everyone, and demonizing people for whom it just doesn't resonate in the same way can just feel really hurtful.
Well, and then, Jeremy, what brings you the joy of Christmas?
A lot of it is just the season. Like I said, a 39-year-old kid, I decorate my house. I love the lights. I love the Christmas music. And Lux, I'm that guy at work that blares at his desk. Just from your piece.
Yeah.
But no, I just love the Christmas music. And my kids are off school, and I get to see my family. And my mom has this big breakfast every Christmas morning. And every Christmas Eve, we go to my father's house. And he smokes something on the smoker all day. And then we all, my brothers and myself and family, we all have drinks and we eat dinner and then we all come back the next morning and eat a big breakfast. So it's just, I think it's the tradition of it all. And it's just the excitement. And I'm not gonna lie, I like getting presents. I'm like a little kid. I could on Christmas Eve not fall asleep. Still to this day, I'm like, I wonder what I'm getting.
Right,
so I mean,
right.
It sounds really funny, but
no.
I feel. And I get really excited about it. But I never think about it from a religious standpoint. I never go to church or anything like that. I just think about it's Christmas. It's that time of year. It's my favorite time of year. Between November and December is my favorite time of year. And I love the cold weather and the snow and everything that's just kind of associated with it. So that's where I get from it. That's what the joy brings me. It feels like everybody, as fake as it may seem, it feels like everybody's being nice. You know, that's the one time of year people are humans to one another, it feels like. I like the good in people that start coming out.
Yeah, no, so it's funny because I'm hearing you talk about the celebration, and I love Thanksgiving. Like, Thanksgiving is the celebration that, like, brings out those feelings for me, or sometimes Passover, because these are, for me, holidays / family celebrations where I love the food, I get to spend time with my family, I really like the traditions, so I get it. But I also know that, you know, people who are native often don't like it because of the whole pilgrim story and because it's connected to painful history. And so, I don't know, for me, I'm not going to say, oh, I can't celebrate or I can't take my joy. But I feel like on my end, it feels important to say like, oh, it's not for everybody. And there's room for different seasons and there's room for different celebrations that all of us can partake in that are meaningful for us individually. I don't want to take Christmas away from people. I just don't want Christmas to be thrust onto everybody all the time.
Yeah. Jeremy, do you have a response to that?
No, I hope this still makes your show okay, because I tend to seem like I'm thinking I agree with Lux a lot more than
That's...
I probably initially showed, because I think Christmas lacks inclusiveness.
Yeah.
Overall, I think the holidays lacks inclusiveness. I mean, you're correct. It's Christmas is so over commercialized and it's all about the money and Cyber Monday and Black Friday, so you get your deals to get your Christmas presents. So I think this time of year, everybody, as good as everybody's trying to be, I think we lack the inclusiveness that I think is missing.
Even
in my area, this is a big, big military area I live in. So we have a lot of people from a lot of different age brackets, different parts of the country. You know, so there's a lot of different, it's a very diverse area I live in, but everything's Christmas, every Christmas. And makes you sit back and wonder, like, how many people are really uncomfortable with this? Just because I'm comfortable, you know, I never thought about it like that. So, I mean, it makes sense. Again, like I said, I just read into it so fast that, of course, I was thinking, oh, New York, got to be a liberal, got to be just everything. That's, you know, I saw as soon as I read it. That's what I was thinking.
Well, and I certainly am a liberal in New York.
Yeah, you are correct, Jeremy.
No, I know.
Right.
That's fine. Yeah. It's funny because I actually agree with a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it's you and I probably aren't that much different with thoughts to our thought process, maybe. But it's, you know, just you don't think that when you're reading into a tweet or you're reading an article or a headline right away. To be honest, I didn't really sit and think about it as much as I have the last 2 days.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you took time to think about it, because, I mean, that was why I wrote the op-ed, was I wanted people to just think more than I wanted to take Christmas away or to shout at people.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, when I reread the article again, and the other the day Dylan found that was Wednesday, I read it. I was sitting in my truck waiting on my son, who was in an appointment, and I'm sitting there reading it again in the truck, and I'm like, damn, I kind of feel like an ass, because I'm just going on here and make myself look like a fool, because everything I kind of went after right away, it's like I actually really taking the time to read the article and comprehending and taking in what's in it, I kind of agree with it. So now I just look like a bigot or kind of an asshole.
No.
I don't know. It's hard to, but that's how I was thinking about it. It's like, yeah. Wow. But so that made me really apprehensive about it.
Yeah, but you came and talked about, I mean, the fact that you were willing to have this conversation
was already huge. Like, that's a big, big deal. Because, Jeremy, I just want to be transparent with you. And Lux, I want to be transparent with you too. Like, you know, I contact a lot of people to make episodes for this show. And a lot of people say no. And a lot of people just ignore me right away or block me automatically. So I really have a lot of respect for people who are willing to be like, hey, I said this thing. And also, let's acknowledge the fact that, like, the internet, while I don't think the internet is this inherently bad thing, but the internet enables us to make an immediate judgment of someone and then publish that judgment, like, to the world. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
It's this kind of wild thing that I don't know how long that is going to be true for all of us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of fascinating to me. But to sum it up, the buzzsaw is really going, but that's okay. We're embracing it, guys. This is part of it. This is a gift for this show. But to sum it up, and do correct me if I'm wrong, it's definitely not Christmas that bothers you. It's not Merry Christmas that bothers you. It's just when it is the default.
Yeah. It's just when it's unconsidered.
Yeah.
And when it's not, when it's said without any awareness that it's not everybody's holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, to go around and tell someone, like, oh, enjoy this holiday that you don't celebrate without really even thinking about whether or not they celebrate it, I think is just about awareness. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would look at us, look at somebody crazy. I know I say Merry Christmas just by default. I would look at somebody crazy if they came up to me and say, hey, Happy Hanukkah. Hey, Happy Kwanzaa.
Right.
What made you just think to say that to me?
Yeah.
So I guess applying it the other way, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just for transparency. I was discussing this with my son about this phone call and this conversation after I picked him up from school. And, you know, I said, and Dylan, you said to me, what struck you out of the tweet was at the end, I put Merry Christmas. And to be in all honest, and just to put it out there, my son said it best. He says, Dad, you were being a smartass. I mean, I was.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. And so I did in that tweet where I put it at the end, I said, Merry Christmas. It was just kind of like, he's like, you were being sarcastic. And I said, you know what? You're right. I was.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just lay that out there.
No, that's great. Yeah. I love the admission.
I am familiar with the, like, I'm going to trigger you Merry Christmas. And I find that one, again, it's about intent. Like, I'm not going to, like, burst into flames because somebody says Merry Christmas. But if you're saying it because you want to hurt me, then I'm just like, okay, mm-hmm. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
It was childish on my part. I'll say that.
No, that's okay.
That's kind of where I was coming. That's kind of where I come from with it sometimes. Like,
yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of the attack on Christmas or what I feel are my values that, you know what, I'm going to say Merry Christmas just out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's sometimes that's what I do. And exactly like I said, in this case.
Yeah. So. I mean, this is not to catch you in anything. It's just, I find it funny that you just said the phrase, sometimes you say Merry Christmas out of spite, which is like so against the Christmas spirit. Do you know what I mean? Like the Christmas spirit. And that really wasn't to like blame anything on you. It's just, I think, funny and interesting. But we all have our nuances and we all have our little idiosyncrasies and things we do that contradict the other things we do.
That's the weakness I have with wearing my emotions on my sleeves sometimes.
No.
And reacting before I really think about it.
I don't think wearing your emotions on your sleeves is a weakness. I think it's a cool thing because it's also what's allowing you to be on this call as like a person who is like totally kind and capable of listening. Do you know what I mean? Like that, if you're saying that you're wearing your emotions on your sleeves is a bad thing, I would just have to argue like it's also the cool thing that makes you a nice human being who can be on this call and talk to someone and like embrace nuance. You know what I mean?
And tell us the negative side or something that's just really off the wall.
The first time I spoke to you both, I asked you to name your perceptions of each other. And now I'm curious kind of how those have changed. So you don't need to name what your original perceptions are, but Lux, how has your perception of Jeremy changed?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to see that you are really thoughtful and that you are embracing nuance and you're willing to admit when it's like, oh, that was a knee-jerk reaction. And now that I've thought about it more, I see it differently. And those are all qualities that I think are really important and good in people. So, mm-hmm. I think you're really thoughtful and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Jeremy, same question for you. How has your perception of Lux changed?
All right, so my first perception, I'll tell you what it is. I first thought, oh, God, here we go, a bleeding heart liberal. And I actually, you made me think a lot the last few days, actually. And you have made me see another side of it. And it wasn't all about, you know what, because I hate Christmas. Christmas should be banned and outlawed. And that's how I was thinking. And I think that you have a very level head and reasonable thing about it. Hey, it's just not your thing. I'm not going to tell everybody else it's not their thing, but it's just not your thing. Mm-hmm. So you have taken others' feelings into consideration. Instead of making it just about you, you've made it about everyone else. You're just telling how you personally feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I anticipated you being open-minded, and which you really are open-minded. You see another person's side of it. You seem to be just as open-minded as I am. And again, like I said, I hope the show is okay for you, Dylan, because I think we agree more than we disagree.
Yeah, no, listen, I cannot tell you both how much I love this call because, you know, like as you both know, the title is Conversations with People Who Hate Me, but that's only referring to the way it feels online, to kind of the animosity and the way we express it online. But the truth is, like, the big secret of this show, and anyone who listens to it knows, is, like, it's actually a show about love. It's, like, it's actually this, like, really loving, gushy, mushy show where, like, people are like, oh, yeah, that's just a human who is on the other side of the screen.
Well, I can tell you that Lux is probably, this call and you will make me think more. Probably, I'm not, and I try to stay open-minded, but probably for the rest of my life, just as I approach things and see things, and when I say things like Merry Christmas or when I see somebody feel uncomfortable, you'll make me think more about it. So you've changed my perception of it. So somebody you don't even know, you just know my voice and what, and it's just a sarcastic ass tweet I sent you ended up turning around possibly on me and might have changed my perception of some things and actually had a positive impact on me as a person.
Wow. I mean, that's all any writer wants. So.
Yeah. And all I have to say is, like, I can truly not think of a higher compliment, Jeremy. So thank you so much for saying that.
Thank you.
This means so much.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel.
Well, I guess we will leave it here, but are there any final things you two want to say to each other?
I just want to say that I really genuinely hope you have a lovely Christmas season and that this holiday is a wonderful one for you.
And I hope you enjoy the time of year, and I hope that
you, I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. I hope you find, I know you're happy, but I hope that people are more thoughtful going forward of other people's opinions and feelings. And I hope you see that more. And I think you need to continue to have these kind of conversations with people and put out your opinion pieces, because like I said, you changed my viewpoint today and you've impacted me. And I think with that kind of positivity, you could do that with a lot of people.
Thank you.
So keep going forward, doing what you're doing, and you're doing a good thing. You both are doing a good thing with your platform, Dylan, that you're providing us today, and Lux with your opinion pieces. And everybody's going to agree, but I appreciate you taking the time to hear my side, and I appreciate you giving me the time to hear your side.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you both so much for doing this. I know this is a big thing. I know that people get really anxious when they come on this show and they leave not anxious at all. So,
I was nervous.
Yeah, we both were.
Yeah, but now not. So no. That's great. So, I guess with that being said, this has been such a pleasure. I will say both happy holidays and Merry Christmas to both of you.
You too.
Yeah.
And I guess we will all see each other on the internet.
All right. Looking forward
Definitely
to it.
Will.
Yeah. Sounds good. Bye, Jeremy.
Bye-bye. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
If you'd like to be a guest on this show and take your own online conversation and move it offline, please visit www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com for more information. Conversations with People Who Hate Me is a production of Night Vale Presents. Vincent Cascione is the sound engineer and mixer. Christy Gressman is the executive producer. The theme song is These Dark Times by Caged Animals. The logo was designed by Rob Wilson. And this podcast was created, produced, and hosted by me, Dylan Marin. Special thanks to Adam Cecil, Emily Moeller, and our publicist, Megan Larson. Remember, there's a human on the other side of the screen.
Racing through these dark times, and it's hard to take it, but we're gonna make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times.